Open. I'm Brian. We got Cred and Don on the line. First, let me tell you about our partners over at FTX. Go to weeklyopen.com/FTX. You can trade on FTX today. They got all kinds of different products that you can check out. Do it at weeklyopen.com/FTX. It helps us out if you do that. Trade with low fees, track your portfolio on their mobile app, trade directly on the mobile app, do all the things you need to do with the FTX app. weeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to them for being our partners. Let's get to the show. Don, you are first on my screen. How you doing?
Good, good. Just enjoying life.
Another week of Bitcoin being sideways and Don enjoying his personal life.
Yep. I mean, there's really, this price action is just bad. There's nothing to look for. There's not even a setup where I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be really, really cool. There's just nothing. So might as well enjoy real life.
That's how Don trades, by the way. It's not like quantitative. There's no like sophisticated analysis. He just opens the yearly chart. He's like, oh yay, this is going to be cool. And then bets, you know, the entire farm on it.
I mean, yes. Isn't that how everyone trades?
Yeah, apparently. That's how I should be trading by the sounds of things. Yeah, I'm doing fine. I still have clearly some sort of volatility recency bias where I'm getting unintentionally very excited over like 1 or 2% moves. I'm like, holy shit, this is big, or like the range is cooked. And then, you know, I actually zoom out and look at the ticker and it's like 1 or 2%. So I'm definitely getting spoiled, or I guess very used to the lack of volatility, which, as we've been saying for the last 3 weeks, is a precursor to some real vol, but it just hasn't kind of trickled down yet. Although this week we've got some data coming out, I've got more earnings this week, and you know, I think towards the end of the year I'd be very surprised if we kind of stayed pinned at 19k all the way through. So hopefully sooner rather than later.
What are the numbers that are coming out this week? I'm not aware of them.
Well, I mean, we had PMI today, I think, which came in a bit soft, and you know that the bad news is good news in this current landscape that we're in. As far as this week, I think, I mean, the PMIs came out today. Tomorrow we've got Microsoft and Google earnings. There's consumer confidence stuff, which isn't as important, on Wednesday, alongside Meta earnings. Thursday, some Euro stuff, ECB rate decision and GDP numbers for the US, and also actually Apple and Amazon earnings. That one's quite important. Especially because of the kind of relative market cap of Apple as a constituent of the S&P 500. And then Friday is the Musk/Twitter deal deadline, as well as some PCE data, all thanks to our good friend DB News. So yeah, there's some stuff to poke around with. I don't know if it's going to be enough to break us out of this now multi-month range. But, you know, as far as catalyst trading, which has been one of the few things available in this market, at least there's something to look at. And then, you know, indices look interesting enough to maybe offer some sense of direction. So, you know, the calendar isn't as empty as it has been in the past.
Man, I'll tell you what, yesterday Bitcoin was up like 2.25%, and it legit felt like 20% to me. We're in that part of the market where a small move feels big. But hopefully something breaks us out of the range. I mean, you said a lot of the different things that are happening. Some I feel like are crypto interesting, but maybe not crypto relevant. But I guess anything could surprise us and be the catalyst, right?
I'll take anything at this point. Yeah. Sensible catalyst. Chris, not sensible,
give me
catalyst.
A reason to trade.
Gib. So yeah, I'll take anything at this point. I was expecting the CPI stuff from earlier, kind of last month or this month, whenever it was, to really have a more meaningful impact. It didn't, and we're still here. So I kind of don't know what kind of what magnitude of event it would take to get this thing going. Maybe just a product of time more so than a single catalyst. But yeah, I mean, one of the options guys I followed, he posted this chart of the returns that have been generated in the past couple of months of just like a basic kind of vanilla vol selling strategy on options, and that thing has just been absolutely printing, you know, to an extent that it really shouldn't be, especially in crypto. And so, you know, whenever you see that, it's like the classic, I think it was tweeted by 0x Light Cycle, and I think the original graph is from QCP Capital, and it's just basically the returns on a 45 delta strangle on BTC, which is essentially a vol selling strategy from basically April, May of this year. And it's, you know, according to the chart, it's up to like sort of 80-90% the returns on that type of strategy, which is absurd, right? Like absolutely insane. So vol sellers have just been absolutely printing. And historically, as the kind of anecdote goes for this thing, you know, you sell vol print, sell vol print, sell vol print, and then one time you get completely carried out, but then you just move over to the hedge fund next door to where you were and kind of run the same strategy, right? We saw the same thing happen in, you know, the kind of S&P 500 prop shops and so on and so forth, like vol selling in general. It's one of those, you know, the chart, which is the life expectation of a turkey before Christmas, where like it's very linear and then it goes to zero. It's one of those things. So there's definitely some signs that, I don't know, it feels like I've been saying this for weeks, but, you know, the vol regime can't stay like this. But, you know, for people who've been willing to write those options or sell those mean reversions, they've been eating well. I just want to see them starve for a change.
I need to look up how expensive options are in the legacy market as well. I presume that they've also been doing pretty well, people trying to predict doom and gloom. And simultaneously, I'm sitting here looking at some charts in the legacy market that I want to participate in, which probably has extraordinarily expensive options. But I still look at this Tesla chart and think this thing's going to 150 and there's nothing that you can do to stop it. You mentioned legacy cred. I skipped straight to Tesla, but last week we actually had a really good week for bouncing off that 200 week. We talked about it on Monday because it was hinting at it. Mm-hmm. Even the NASDAQ went and bearish retested its 200 week. Russell 2000 did not. Does this give you any confidence, or either of you, or do you think it's just, you know, a thing that still results in a bunch of chop? The dollar also had its first down week and, well, second down week in the last 2 months, but kind of look like a double top type of thing, maybe, if you're being real optimistic.
For me, I'm kind of looking at the S&P monthly, and it just seems like it's bouncing from support into resistance. So I still expect chop, right? So you hit support, you ran into resistance. Now we're 7 days ahead of the close. I think that close is most likely going to be somewhere in this area, from 3.7 to 3.75, like pretty much exactly where we are right now. And then it's going to be interesting next month. But I honestly think, even if this is bullish, right, next month is going to be a muted month where it's going to be boring. And then, like, if it's bullish, it's going to hang around that resistance and break it the month after. And if it's bearish, we're just going to get flat out rejected after this bearish retest. Mm-hmm. So I think there's going to be one more month of nothingness after this, so 5 more weeks. But I could be wrong.
At that point, we might as well finish the year with it, doing nothing.
Actually, true. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to come back from holiday. I mean, I'm not really doing holiday, but I'm just flying to a different country, enjoying my time there, but still like doing a little bit.
Let me
work.
Give you an English lesson on the definition of a holiday after hearing that explanation, okay? If you're just flying to another country to do nothing and relax, you might just be on holiday, Don. Just a guess.
Maybe there's
a cultural barrier here.
Well, some people...
ordinary understanding of the word. You're very much on holiday.
Cred people of Don's position just call it retirement.
Unbelievable.
But no, I'm the reason why I'm not entirely like when I call it holiday is because I'm still gonna be on this show, I'm still gonna be on the other shows. I think I'll try. I think I will be.
Oh yes, the 2 hours a week are just so burdensome. You couldn't possibly call it a holiday, could you? You know who you'd really like if there's your definitions? Go talk to our friend Avi Eisenberg and his profitable trading strategies. You know, it seems like you two are very much aligned on English words and what they mean and don't mean. That is just amazing. It's like, oh, babe, I wish I could go on holiday. I just have to open my laptop today for an hour. Sorry, I can't be with you. It's so absurd. I'm dying.
I love it.
Well, that's just how it is. But yeah, I think that that could honestly be the case. Like, I could see myself come back from holiday or from whatever it is, and then see some volatility come back. I hope it doesn't come back before, but chart-wise, just kind of looks pretty good for that. So, like, a little bit of muted price action. On the bullish side, like, if nothing happens, that's bullish, I think, or, like, more bullish leaning. If we close around this level and then get rejected next month, it's just clearly bearish. So I would want to wait one more month anyway, because a bearish retest in this should not be faded, right? Like, you can see the bearish retests all the way down have been excellent. This is going to be another one most likely. But like I said, if it's just a tiny red candle here at resistance, I think there's a chance. Or even if it's a tiny green one above resistance, I think there's a chance for a little bit of rally into year end, into next year. But
your patience is inspiring, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's been working pretty well, right? The more, like, the more you get rewarded for being patient, the easier it is to be patient, I guess. And I've made the discovery that the less patient I am, the less money I make. So just kind of try to reel myself in from time to time. And right now it's been just straight up down. So it's a little bit on the easier side of things.
You got me looking at monthly charts now. Cause I started going through, I want to show one that's been one of our favorites, the SPAC. Our SPAC du jour. This is a rival. It is. Cred joked ages ago about it arriving to zero, and it's very, very close now. 64 cents. The supposed floor on these, if y'all remember the SPAC floors of $10 for redemptions, was it $10? So, you know. They say they have the, like, Web3 is going great type of memes and crypto stuff, but this is down 98% from the highs. And that's a publicly traded stock that lots of retail people trade. ARK is also just looking terrific. You know, this is one of the largest ETFs in the world.
Mate, Noah couldn't save that one. Seriously.
78%. Some of these better companies are, like, certainly are holding up better, but yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, growth stuff straight up pulled the elevator down. And these types, like the Amazons and the Googles, Nvidia, the ones that actually print money, are really the only thing keeping these indices up. But everything else is just completely freaking wrecked. The mid and long tail, as you have this rotation into things that provide yield, I guess. I was looking at XLE. This is oil stocks. And even though oil itself has not recovered yet, this oil producing energy ETF is looking freaking fantastic. So there's stuff that you can be in that's much better, but if you're trying to do the same things that worked in low interest rate environment, it's not working right now, that's for sure. Crypto included. do y'all have any added notes in terms of kind of where we are Bitcoin wise, or do we literally just say watch any show of the last 2 months and it's the same thing now?
That's a good one.
I mean, it is. I could give it an overview, but the thing is, it is literally the exact same thing it was last week, and it's the exact same thing it was 2 weeks ago as well. I don't think there's any difference. Like, you guys remember this, right? I hate that I said it because now it's coming true and I fucking hate this price action. But I said it's going to bounce from like 19 or 18 to like 21K. You guys remember the squiggle that I did?
Yes, and it's doing exactly that.
I'm going to pretend I didn't.
Yeah. I groaned over it. I don't think I mocked it. I think I groaned over it. And now that's my actual life.
And that could keep on going. Like I said, I think 4 or 5 more weeks. I think it's possible. I think after that, it'd be very, very surprising. But I think I could see it do that for another month and then we'll be rescued, I think, one way or the other.
Coincidentally, Don's like, when I come back from holiday, all will be clear. You know, but until then, stay tuned.
Yep, that's exactly how it works.
Ledger, on the legacy thing, it's actually funny. Like, we look at those charts like Arrival and Shop and Roblox and Uber and whatever you know, tech growth, COVID type of narratives, whatever. And we're so desensitized to it because we've sort of seen this happen for years with shitcoins. But like, this is completely abnormal, right? There are people to whom this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And these drawdowns and that type of price action is completely unfathomable and something they've never seen in their lives before and probably will never see again to some extent. So it just feels like we sort of gloss through it because we're used to, like, you know, 5 years of these altcoins going up 1,000%, down 99%. And it's called just another, you know, another day at work. But I think for a lot of just like, especially retail investors, but also more experienced kind of legacy market participants, this is like actually sort of brain meltingly shocking for them. And the contrast to me is always quite interesting.
Yeah, I think especially anyone relatively young, some of your older Gen Xers, I guess, that were around for the 2001 tech bust. What's interesting is we haven't really started talking about it that way, you know. Yeah. But it's pretty much the same thing going on, other than it hasn't fully envisioned itself across the indices because the biggest tech names actually make a lot of money, but the mid and long tail, I mean, it's just kind of getting the trash taken out. And, you know, some of these have revenues, but they don't justify their valuations that they had. And they don't, honestly, many of them don't justify their valuations that they still have. I never pull up this little window here in TradingView, but it's got the whole market cap somewhere in here, doesn't it? Like, this is Zoom fully retraced basically since its IPO. And market cap is still $23.45 billion. Yeah. So is Zoom a $23 billion company? And, you know, what does that turn into in terms of like price to sales? I'm not sure. I can look it up. But is Zoom is wrecked. Is it wrecked enough? I don't know.
Yeah, that's actually crazy, right? You see stuff down 90% and this is where people start wondering, should it be down another 90%? Which honestly, I mean, yeah, for a lot of these, yes, they should. It's kind of crazy what has been happening, right? Like stuff that will never make money just went completely batshit insane and are basically funded with investor money to kind of make it even go. And that's been the business model for a lot of these things. And it does kind of seem like it's coming around now to bite them in the ass, and it's kind of fucking over everyone. And I think that could take quite a bit longer too.
Yeah. Also, my favorite part is, we get this every week, by the way, these guys have become full-on LARPing bears from the live chat section. I don't think so. I think, look, the reason we sort of skirted over the TA is because the base case view, as far as like BTC and stuff goes, is that it's in an area of high time frame support. It's just not doing anything, right? Like, yeah, vol compression at support. So if you sell it and the vol pops, you feel like a bit of a prick. If you buy it or have been buying it, it just hasn't been moving anywhere. And so the next setup is likely to come from either, yes, anticipating the vol expansion and being on time there, or like following on whatever momentum you finally get after months of not having it, right? I don't think anyone's like advocating for straight on like selling the bottom of the range or doing anything like that. It's just the range of available setups in these types of like price conditions is really, really constrained, right? Which is why we almost have to gloss over it and then talk about other stuff, because the setups just aren't there to a large extent. And as far as, you know, like S&P and indices and tech growth, whatever stuff, it's just, you know, those charts are just ugly. And that's, it is what it is, you know, when it comes to those. I mean, I can add some quick commentary onto the Bitcoin.
Yeah, please do.
You know, as far as I've been monitoring a couple of intraday thingies. I mean, this is the NASDAQ chart, but we can revisit. But as far as BTC goes, I think previously, I mean, I can do it from a fresh chart or whatever. We can go to the perp. I think in previous shows, I kind of had like this double range low area. Between 19.2 and then this lowest close here at 19.5. In any case, as you can see, they both align around the 20K handle, right? And you can just see this as a prior range. And thus far, we haven't had like a clean candle close through. to suggest that the range has been reclaimed, or that, you know, we're back within it and some sort of failed breakdown has taken place and whatnot. I think that would be your first kind of bullish signal on the weekly time frame, at least, that like something's changed. There's been a shift in flows, different market behavior, whatever, is that this is a breakdown technically, these weekly candles we're looking at, and you need something to pop into the other side to suggest, well, the breakdown didn't stick and failed bearish setups are bullish. That's not available to us yet. And I think, as we've discussed before, you can kind of just draw a line in the sand. It's no coincidence this happening at 20K, right? Like, you can have that line in the sand at 20K and say, look, if I start getting like good constructive price action above 20K, I know that I'm A, above the weekly range, and also B, above prior cycles all-time high, and maybe I can start looking at it quite positively. I think that's a pretty low bar to set, as we've discussed, and that just simply hasn't become available yet, right? So that sort of explains a lot of this type of price action. If you want to get more granular with it, you can see that this past week was an inside week, which means its price action is contained within the preceding week. And a lot of the time, that can give you a range to work with. Inside week high tends to be the range high. So inside week high tends to be the range high. Inside week low tends to be the range low. And sort of in the new trading week, those set your boundaries. And then they might even make extra sense in this case because vol has been so constrained. And so then you just look at it on your intraday time frames or lower time frames, whatever it may be. And in general, these setups, the way they form is the market, especially if it's range bound, will try to break above one extreme. And once it falls back in, you know, that becomes your risk and where the failed breakout takes place. And you target the midpoint of the weekly range, if not the range low. And you do the same on the other side. If you have an inside week like this, the market tries to poke with the extreme and isn't successful. That similarly becomes your risk and you trade it back into the middle, if not the other side. So from like a day trading-y low time frame point of view, this is kind of where my intention is, especially given that the weekly hasn't come home to, you know, isn't playing ball yet as far as reclaiming any meaningful structure. And I mean, just look at this on the daily time frame, right? Like, what are we really doing if we just kind of take this type of perspective here, right? Like, this is what's going on. Like, we're supposed to develop like meaningful, strong market views based on this, right? Like, not a single higher high, not a single lower low, not a single break attempt, nothing like that. Like, come on. I think anyone who's built and flip-flopped on very strong views in the past, like, month at least, just isn't a particularly serious person if we're talking about big moves. Don't know what you think about that.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I've got one additional thing to say on that sector performance stuff. I went and looked at a 10-year chart of the different indices against one another, and the NDX NASDAQ 100 is still massively outperforming. And I could totally imagine that things don't really get better for growth until this just squishes back together, which doesn't mean there's not opportunity in the stock market at all. Just means it's not a passive investor, you know, tech stock paradise. So I would be very cautious if I was in tech stuff, and we are in tech stuff. It's just a different environment. I guess one of the questions is, how is crypto viewed in that, right? And that's a fun question to pose. Is it a commodity? Is it a growth stock equivalent? You know, like, that's how it's priced itself historically, which is not good for now when you're looking at that stuff and it's not doing well. But if you can make the case that, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum are commodities, and that they're scarce assets, and that there's opportunity there from a diversification perspective, then maybe there's upside. But you better start spinning those narratives up, baby, because otherwise we're just correlating with tech and tech's getting wrecked.
And you need price, right? Like, you need price to play ball for those narratives to become tenable. Because, like, you know, the whole inflation hedge thing, for example, it's going to be very hard to support a narrative if the price is acting in the complete opposite as what you'd expect. I think at least my base case tends to be it's like a risk/growth asset with commodity-like features that may become allocated in that way or allocated towards in that way over time as they become more entrenched. And that's a product of, like, several cycles and whatever institutional adoption, quote-unquote. Looking at how it's done from the start of the year, you're going to have a very hard time in any empirical case or in any empirical sense saying that it's not a growth/risk asset. And it's part of the same kind of liquidity basket casino even if it does have commodity-like features on a kind of fundamental level, it doesn't sort of, you don't get to have that discussion with that type of price performance, right? And as we've discussed on here before, people have already started to pivot a lot of the narratives when it comes to like BTC, especially. That it's like, oh, it's not an inflation hedge, it's a debasement hedge, you know? And like this kind of, this all sleight of hand is, yeah, it's becoming quite slippery. I think, look, when you have price, as cynical as it sounds, I truly believe it, when you have price on your side, your flexibility to come up with compelling narratives is like vastly increased. And you can make it stick. When you don't have that on your side, and you've just got like a pretty standard risk type performing asset, you're going to be very limited in what you can meaningfully spin up. That's why all the narratives come to fruition in the bull market, right? Because that's when you have all the investor attention, all the optimism, and everyone's looking towards what it can be and how it's going to keep going. And you know, at that point, it's much more malleable, kind of in the public consciousness, to mold it into whatever you want. When it's doing stuff like this, especially the way the cycle unfolded, we sort of don't have the the political capital almost to write our own story, unfortunately. But we will, because it will come back.
Yeah. Another sector chart amongst the same conversation. Technology and consumer discretionary led massively. And this is energy. Look at this. XLE energy just completely obliterated. And now it's, you can't even quite see it, but it's up here now in the middle. It's like the second best performing now on a 5-year horizon, even though all of that move was in the last like 2 years. So if you break it down to 1 year, tech's way down here and energy is way up here. And just when you consider what this means, one, there's a lot that is still available to you from an investment perspective. But two, it puts a lot of pressure on the economy. You know, you think of like what's actually forcing inflation, what's making costs go up. Well, technology is more deflationary and rising costs in energy is more inflationary. So but it's kind of your Cathie Wood argument, I guess. Anyway, a lot of pressures in the market, and we got to figure out what we want to be when we grow up here in the crypto land.
Did you see there was a lot of talk towards the tail end of last week? I think the market started biting at the heels of what they interpreted as a sort of pet pivot or softening after the upcoming FOMC. So the way this bizarre kind of archaic system works is that, Nick Timiraos, I probably butchered his surname there, but he's like the chief economics correspondent for the Wall Street Journal. People call him the Fed Whisperer, which I find hilarious. And a lot of the time, the Fed will kind of float its upcoming sort of decisions through the Wall Street Journal, famously, right? And so what the market quite liked was this article that came out suggesting, you know, especially from Daly, who's the most kind of dovish member, voting member of that group. And she was saying, I think the time is now to start talking about stepping down. The time is now to start planning for stepping down. And there's like the headline was Fed set to raise rates by, you know, 75 basis points and debate size of future hikes. So the market was getting bullish on the premise that, you know, the Fed is now considering, after the what seems to be now 100% likely, although this such thing exists in markets, whatever, the likely 75 bip raise next time. The market, because it's kind of supposed to be forward-looking, quite liked the language used when it came to like slowing or stepping down or softening, whatever, and kind of rallied on the back of, you know, are we going to see peak tightening at the next FOMC? And after that, it's just going to be a gradual walking down. So that's definitely something that was acting as a bit of a tailwind towards the end of last week. And I'd be interested to see whether that sticks. The market's still obviously just very horny when it comes to pivot talk. And any slight uttering which follows that language is bid quite aggressively. But I think we just have a lot of like upcoming data stuff coming up that's worth monitoring. But you know, you can see the narrative start to shift, right? Like the financial stability argument has been floating around for a while now, that look, you know, these conditions aren't sustainable and Fed might have to pivot early if bonds keep trading like shitcoins. And then you have this second piece of evidence about that. I mean, yes, she's the most dovish member of the board, but, you know, floating through the Wall Street Journal, the idea of debating the size of future hikes, like it's slowly, it feels like, you know, slow dripping that type of programming into our food when it comes to the Fed and its direction. So it's also just like a larger trend I'm sort of paying attention to. It's very subtle, but it's there.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think they have to start doing that as well. I mean, this 2-year yield looks like that X coin that Vitalik tweeted about the other day. It just went up 6,000%. Did y'all see that?
yes.
that's what this chart reminds me of. It's just completely freaking vertical. I think if they don't do this kind of soft pivot, Cred, that we're really in a bad, potentially bad place. Like, it'll be a much harder landing. They don't truly know the full impacts yet of what they've already done because there's a lag there. But from when you set that policy to what it does to the real economy, we see what it does to the markets. The market's priced it in pretty quick, but the economy has not priced it in yet. You know, the economy is still trying to grapple with what the hell is going on. Like, what's the interest going to be on your mortgage or on your car or on your corporate financing? And those have huge impacts that we haven't seen be really absorbed yet. So my personal opinion is that they really need to slow it down and just see, you know. What I also find strange is they keep, like, they're like, okay, one more 75 and then pause. Why are we so bent up to get these 75 point hikes? Like, why not 325s? You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to pause, like, give people a softer blow so that they kind of have time to absorb that versus the drastic changes that you have on the market. There was another tweet. It was our Charlie Bilelio guy. Blaze.
Charlie B.
Charlie Bilelio. Bilelio.
I'm sure he appreciates the butchering.
There was a good thing he did talking about the expectation to your mortgage. And since the increase of the average home price over the past some years, and also the increase in rates, the typical mortgage payment monthly has more than doubled in like 2 years, 2.5 years. And that just freaking blew my mind. You know, like, you go buy a house right now and your expected mortgage is more than 2 times what it was before. So wow. I found the tweet. I had to say his name wrong that many times so that I could get to this. So yeah, a $25,000 increase in your down payment requirement and a 112% increase in your monthly payment from $1,300 to $2,761. This is a combination because the prices of homes with inflation is still very high. It's very expensive to build. And there's this like build versus buy ratio essentially. So it's kind of hard for prices to correct too much because the build buy imbalance becomes high. But with rates going up, like, who's going to move right now and like double their mortgage payment to be in the same house? So if you want to be in a bigger house or something, it makes it very complicated to try and move. So anyway, a lot of weird effects on the economy, and we have to see how the economy can absorb these changes. But this is what happens when you make really, 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 really fast changes. And I don't know. I think it's going to take quite a long time for everything to figure it out. I'm babbling.
No, I mean, you're right. It takes time to sort of see the downstream effects and for these things to travel through the economy, right? The financial markets are supposed to be the most... That's where you'll see the changes first, supposedly, right? Because that's sort of the job, to price these things in and be forward-looking, future discounting, whatever. But as far as the real economy goes and consumer behavior, that takes a while for those changes to flow through the economy, if you will. So that's certainly the case for, you know, the whole stagflation thing, or at least like a muted vol into next year. I think those arguments are hinged on that type of phenomenon, right? That even if you manage to quell the, you know, put the inflation genie back in the bottle, that takes a while to churn through before you can start, you know, return to normal.
So we might as well let Twitter headlines drive our conversation. Have y'all seen this in the UK?
My country is a joke right now. Yeah, it's a complete circus.
But is it Rishi Sunak? Did I just Alabama that?
No, that's good.
Okay. He's crypto friendly, right?
Well, yeah, so was Gensler, right? So I think our track record for assessing who's crypto friendly or not
gracious.
Hasn't been particularly helpful. But yeah, you know, he's posted some stuff about, I don't know, but I mean, I take politicians' words on these things sort of with a huge bag of salt. If they think that, you know, if they think there's a sector that can make them look trendy or innovative or ahead on tech, or oh, I want to be a hub for this, that, and the other, they'll do it. But as far as meaningfully engaging with the space, that's a whole different thing. And yeah, I think he's a big fan of, I mean, at least he's, if I recall correctly, spoken or written about central bank digital currencies, as well as among other things. So I mean, maybe I just like UK doesn't really have a big crypto culture. It's not a part of the normie discourse, or even just kind of broadly speaking as an investable asset class. It's like it doesn't really permeate through the culture anywhere near as much as you'd have it in other places. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's a bit of a nothing burger.
Look how happy they all look, like they've accomplished something. They're like, ah, yes, the last person we put here lasted less than a head of lettuce. But here we go. We got it this time, guys. Good job. Yeah. Well done. Job well done.
Well, this is the insane thing, right? Like, you don't vote for him.
Yeah.
So at the general election, you vote for the party, and then the party kind of through internal party politics decides who they're going to have as the party leader. And that party leader becomes the prime minister. So you don't really vote for that specific person a lot of the time. And even if you do, they can just get, you know, Julius Caesared by their own party. it's a completely bizarre system. I mean, the gilt market likes it because, you know, the previous prime minister, not the lettuce head defeat, but Boris Johnson, the one before that, he was seen as an economic risk, and so, you know, when he dropped out, the pound liked that and gilts like that as well. So this you know, Rishi is seen as a bit more of a safe pair of hands who isn't going to do some craziness. So I guess that's nice for the UK, but yeah, I'm just really tired of this party. It's been like just, you know, well over a decade, and there's this whole austerity thing and managing the pandemic, Brexit. I'm just really tired of them, and they also just don't seem to care about certain like rule of law principles and the civil service and procedural propriety and all the kind of sort of fundamentally all these fundamental principles of British democracy. They just don't really give a shit. So I definitely would prefer a general election type of thing.
Doesn't it go back to like Tony Blair? Wasn't he a conservative?
Well, no, he was the last kind of really successful Labour Party leader, but he was just kind of quite left of like left of centre more so than kind of socialist or whatever. And yeah, I mean, he was the Iraq War guy, but domestically, he did a few good things, a lot of positive constitutional reform. But yeah, you know, UK politics, whatever. I think in general in crypto, when people start saying, "Oh, this candidate is like pro crypto," whatever, it's very rarely like accurate or useful or meaningful. So I don't know, not a ton of signal there. Maybe if you want to come up with some cope argument, like strong GBP, maybe dollar index pulls back and some yada yada. I think that's very tentative and not terribly interesting. But yeah, we'll see. Hopefully I don't have to move or do anything crazy like that. I'm happy where I am, but UK politics is just a mess. It's just embarrassing as well, just having to follow that discourse. But as far as crypto, not a whole lot going on there.
I think this show has a little bit of spunk to it though, with video on the screen.
I know, right?
Otherwise, you know, this is all I have to show.
Yeah,
and it's very depressing.
It is.
And that's the thing, right? Just like, again, straight to mid-19,000s, and we're back to, you know, this entire kind of breakout candle is retraced now, you know, if you want to view it in those terms. So still very much in mean reversion mode. I think for ETH, as we sort of discussed, if you look at it on the daily, I mean, this is very clean. So this 1420 level is the prior cycle's high, and it's really good, like just on its face, daily level of resistance, right? You can kind of just see how clean that is. So below there, I'm not terribly interested. 1200 is that, you know, when the merge stuff started really to pick up and Ethereum led the breakout, that's the support. And we're just dead in the middle of those levels, like dead in the middle, you know? So I think if you generate a signal here, that's cool. Either a real breakdown or a failed breakdown. If you want to print something here that I can trade, either a real breakout or a failed breakout, that's cool. But no amount of impatience can convince me to diddle in the middle between the two levels that actually means something. Like, unless I want to go really low time frame and do whatever, even that hasn't been terribly appealing. If you're looking for, like, I mean, just look at this thing, right? Yeah, if you want to range trade it like on the hourly or the 15 minute, be my guest. But as far as the vol compression goes, I think the next catalyst will come at one of these higher time frame pivots as opposed to this 1300s churn.
I just found a truly surprising chart. I have nothing to talk about in crypto. This chart I found is GoDaddy. It's like talking about all these tech stocks. GoDaddy went public in 2015. Look at this thing.
Actually,
big move soon.
Yeah. That's pretty incredible. I feel like I got Don excited.
Yeah, actually looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Just chart-wise.
Is there any crypto thing that is worth looking at?
I mean, how are NFTs doing? Surely you have some color there.
Me or Don?
You're the one with Flip and your fantasy NFT flipping competition. What's it looking like in that part of the world? Completely disconnected from what we look at.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, some stuff has done fairly well. Hold on a second.
I mean, just
go ahead.
From what I've seen, it's just zero volume, but prices are like floors are holding up much better than I thought they would.
That's the best way to put it. Make it the short way. Like if you look at, you know, Bored Apes are still 74, Azuki's 11.5. But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of junk too. ENS is doing really well. But yeah, it's what Don just said is exactly right. The volume is way down overall. There's this new stuff, Reddit. Reddit just came out with some NFT stuff and a bunch of people are using it.
You can't call them NFTs on Reddit, by the way, right? Because Reddit hates NFTs. You call them like digital collectible something. You obfuscate it so the gamers don't bury you.
Yeah. I think there's sectors that are interesting within the NFT landscape, but for the most part, you're just going to have like a couple of years of people building things that are more real and a little less nothing but the JPEG, you know? So trying to figure out where does product market fit exist for NFTs. But in the meantime, prices are not terrible. But actually selling is not that easy, I don't think, for high dollar stuff.
Oh, yes. I've actually, like, it's really, really hard. I tried to sell a couple, and then you just push floor down. You can push it down as much as you want, and it takes like 3 days, and then you either get like filled out or you don't, and you try again another week, and it's insane. Like, it's really, really hard. It's interesting that the floor prices aren't moving down with that, though, because you would expect them to, right? Because if there's just like 10 sellers and one person getting out, it takes 3 days to fill, you'd expect people to just kind of try to bid lower, like put the floor lower and lower and lower and lower, but hasn't really been the case from what I've been able to tell. It just seems like people that wanted to sell have sold, which just makes it interesting on the sense that, like, if you think the ETH USD bottoms in, you might have some good trades on the NFTs because there's really nothing happening there. Like the ETH prices aren't moving. But if you think ETH could go down, right, you obviously there's still plenty of room to the downside. Obviously also plenty of room to the upside. But yeah, so I think the moves on the NFTs are probably going to be off of ETH moving more so than the NFTs moving.
I agree with that. I sold a couple of NFTs this weekend that were the most ledger status style sales of all time. So my Azuki, I lost 1.5 ETH, but my Chromie Squiggle, I made 1.9 ETH until you get to the dollar version and I lost 30 grand. So I up in ETH, down bad in USD.
It's funny because it's always the opposite for me. Like every time I buy NFTs, I'm down in ETH but up in dollars.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I felt kind of proud of this one. I'm like, one, this got gobbled up quick. So it's like I've sold this too cheap, even though it was above the floor. But two, like the down in USD thing was made me laugh considering I made money in ETH. And I think what you'll see is, honestly, I sold like, Chromie Squiggles will probably do fairly well relative to other things. It wasn't that volatile in either direction from an ETH perspective. And it's not that I'm bearish Chromey Squiggles or anything. I just harvested the loss. I could jump back in there at some point, I guess. But yeah, it's, you know, we'll see. I just thought I'd
Are
share.
Are we supposed to be excited about Aptos, by the way?
I don't think
Something
so.
We haven't talked about. Are we supposed to, you know, be keen on this thing?
It seemed like the only thing anyone was interested in was whether or not it was going to short squeeze.
Yeah.
It's called, I still have my monthly charts open. So, oh, is that what your chart is as well?
I've got the 4 hour chart, yeah, on the perp.
Yeah.
1 hour, whatever.
I have the monthly up.
Nice.
It has found fair value. I did not realize that it had moved back up so much because after it dumped, all I heard about was people saying how it was going to squeeze shorts. I guess a bunch of shorts piled into it because it went down to $6 or something, six and a half. I don't know. Are we supposed to be excited about it?
I don't think so, honestly.
This is just hedge funds positioning their hedges of their locked bags, right? Is there anything else going on?
I think it's basically going to be the longer the bear market draws out, the worse it's going to be for these kind of coins. And then you can buy them before the next bull market and make a bunch of money. I think like we should be excited about them because they are going to have a narrative, right? But it's not necessarily in a rush. It's the same with stuff like looks and like a bunch of others where you have a lot of selling pressure, I guess, as long as nothing happens in the market. And then you're going to have a really good narrative the moment the market turns around. But it doesn't really look like the market is in the process of turning around, to me anyway.
Speaking of that, we have talked about Solana every time it was in the at one end of the range or the other. It's now at the low end of that range that we had identified, basically between 25 and 50. Don, do you think it'll hold it this time and stay in the channel, or do you think this is going to lose it?
I mean, I'm definitely not buying, so I think it's going to lose it.
It looks quite bad, doesn't it?
It does. I think it's $14 to $15 is where it's going to be interesting. I think in general, if the market does one leap down, a lot of stuff gets really, really interesting, which makes me think it makes sense. That's why I'm not buying anything. I really don't think it's a good time. Could be completely wrong, could be saying this at the bottom, but then again, like I've been saying the same thing for a while now. But yeah, $14 Solana is going to look very, very interesting to me. That's where I want to do business next time. I did it once at 29-ish and sold like in the 40s somewhere. And I want to do the same like at 14, sell into like 30, maybe 40, maybe 50, something like that. I think that's going to be a good trade, but I don't want to do much more with it.
Don, I love how you're getting body bagged on Twitter because you said that you'd bought Solana at whatever range low and you sold it at 40 something. But instead of saying 40s, you typed 4 and then an X, like, you know, as in the next number is like variable because it's in the 40s. And people thought you meant you sold it for a 4X. And so all these comments were like, you fucking LARPer, you know, all this stuff. I just found that hilarious.
Oh, I saw it and I was like, oh no. These people just
it's like that's the power of leverage, right? You get like a 20% move and Don makes a 4x out of it.
Yeah.
I agree on Solana on altcoins. Like a lot of it looks like it's actually kind of fresh breaking down. Like from a rudimentary TA perspective, like on this weekly chart. Like this is a lower low, right?
Yeah. And that's while nothing's changing on Ethan BTC.
Yeah. So that's a breakdown. And for me, breakdowns, I either trade them when they fail or I trade them at the next level of support when they get there. And for me, it's neither here nor there at the moment. I think the earliest thing, I discussed this setup before, the earliest I could justify poking at this thing is closer to the low to mid 20s, like this lowest close that Don stopped me from getting when he was buying this bottom wick. Prick. but in this case, you know, that's still, I think, something in terms of structure. And if it comes down there, by definition, it will also be trading through this low. That kind of the lowest low we've had so far. So that kind of failed breakdown setup might be nice. Or to be honest, if the whole thing folds, I kind of agree with Don. You kind of have to go into even very meme-y structures like around 13, 15, or just do round numbers, or even the all reliable time your altcoin entries with when you think BTC and ETH are going to reverse. Whatever the case that is, this initial what looks like a shift from a balanced environment to an imbalanced one. I'm not fading this right here in the middle of nowhere, personally. But, you know, I mean, look, this is very clean, right? Like, in terms of structure. It wouldn't take a lot for it to prove to me that it wants to trade back within the range or do something spicy. It's just not there yet. You know, at least a higher high through here, and then we can have a conversation about, like, this type of trade with this being your risk. But that's not available at the moment. But I do want to own Solana. Like, I know narratively it's struggled a bit now, and you know, certainly doesn't have the same appeal that it did mid bull cycle, as you'd expect. But as far as owning layer ones that aren't ETH, I mean, it's on my list at the very least. So if the setup's there, I'm gonna click buttons.
So this would be another 40% down relative to ETH, which I would find interesting. Get it back in this cluster from mid 2021. I would find this actually quite rational. It's the third test currently of this 0.02 type of level. Not that this is something that's guaranteed to trade very technically, but in people's head of I want to own this or I want to own this, it ends up playing out on the chart like this. So I could believe if we get that breakdown and Solana becomes a teens level coin and ETH is still in the low thousands, then that's the type of relative breakdown that you would get as well. Which might make it really attractive at that point.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, it's just, I'm looking at these charts everywhere. Like, I look at this, I'm like, blah, this is just ugly. And then I look at, like, the entire list, right? And you can give me any coin, really, right? I'm the ones that I loved. Have you guys seen ADA? It's fucking hilarious. I've had so many ADA guys in my comments shit talking on me for saying it's the same as a lot of other coins. And then look at this price. Look at this chart in general.
Ouch.
Like,
I have to move.
It's using our avatars as support.
even if you turn on log, right, this is like so, so far away from support because it looks like, oh yeah, this is at 0.35 and like this is just a little bit away, but this is a huge fucking dump, right? It's 60-70% down to the next support that I have. And when you turn off log chart, it just looks like, I mean, death. And you can go through the whole list and it's the same everywhere. It just kind of looks like an echo bubble in a sense. Just for ADA, it's been a bigger one, obviously, the second one. So I'm just not excited about that kind of stuff. I look through the list and then you see Bitcoin struggling at all time, like best support in the game. Like, I mean, it doesn't really get much better than 20K, and it's using it as resistance. Can't even get close to 20K, getting rejected every time before it actually hits it. And then you see ETH just doing basically nothing in an area where it absolutely needs to put in a higher low, because if it doesn't, it's just completely broken chart wise. And all of that combined is just, to me, a sign to just step off a little and just at least let it show some strength. And so far we haven't had that, and until it does come, I mean, I'm not gonna throw away my money basically before the next bull run. Like, imagine you lose 50% of your balance or 60 or 70% of your balance trying to trade this chop or trying to trade this bear market, and then the bull market comes around, right? And all of that money that you've lost could have been 10 times more if you just didn't throw it away, right? And that's kind of the way you think. Like, every dollar that you lose right now is going to be $10 in the next bull market, and that's fucking painful, right? And especially if you put yourself in a position where you get so tilted by losing that you cannot actually take advantage of the next bull market. And I've seen a lot of people do this, right? The bear markets get so long and people are so excited to still trade it because they're traders and they have to, and it's like they're trying to flex being able to trade garbage price action basically, and then they get so burnt out that they don't stick around for the next bull market, right? And the idiots like me, for example, we're like, well, fuck this shit, it's way too complicated now, it's not that fun, let's just wait. And then at some point it gets much more exciting again, and then you're fresh, you have a bunch of money to deploy, right? And then you just go and have some fun in the market. And it's much, much better that way, in my opinion, anyway.
I think that's very good, not financial advice.
It's lifestyle advice.
It is. It is. like I dig through some of these coins trying to find what looks even decent. And the problem is, even then, it's kind of eh. So Aave ETH is an example. I think there's a couple of DeFi coins where, one, I'm coping just looking at it relative to ETH. It looks okay relative to the dollar, but this is a nothing burger. I look at this in any other market, I'm like, oh, there's a downtrend that's now consolidating. Maybe, I don't know, no real faith in it. But it is outperforming other things if you're trying to look for something. But if when this is kind of the best of the bunch, then it's not great. Like, generally, your market is not in an excellent position to support your narrative there. But as I was digging around, that was one of the only ones that I could even find. ENS is similar to me still. Looks like it might have turned the corner. Does it scream buy and hold forever? Not really, but did it turn the corner? Maybe. Unless all this other stuff breaks down, then it's just going to make a new leg lower. And I think what you're saying there, and y'all have both done a great job of talking about this over the years, is just putting yourself in a position of control for when the opportunity is much better.
Yeah, it sounds boring, but you know, that's the market for you right now. Squeezing water from a rock for a lot of it. If you want to sharpen your proverbial knives on some real low time frame stuff, I think that's justifiable, maybe, if you know what you're doing, as long as it's not like blatantly eroding your capital. Like, maybe, you know, in terms of productive endeavors, if you really wanted to get into the weeds, you can set up like a sub account with a fraction of your balance and really size down and punt and poke that way. But even then, there's always like a downstream risk that you carry this bear market PTSD with you into next cycle if your trading frequency is high enough. Like, for example, as I've said before, the whole Bloomberg macro obsession is going to be one of the biggest, one of the worst things to look at when we have some sort of return to normalcy, right? Those people are probably going to underperform. And also, if your vol expectations are to fade 2-5% moves as a matter of instinct in crypto markets, you know, as soon as the tides shift, you're going to be the first to, you know, your body's first to the surface, so to speak. So a lot of these habits that are working now, they're not like long-term profitable / plus EV things to be integrating into your trading toolkit when it comes to crypto. So even then, like even if in the short to medium term you're doing well, I think you should at least come with some sort of proviso that this isn't the way to do it, so to speak, and it's a product of its time. And you know, these are very anomalous conditions by definition. It's like the nature of this trend, the nature of volatility, all the macro contagion that isn't normal, and it's also not why we trade crypto, right? So even if you are doing well in this environment, I think it's worth having that asterisk next to it to not, you know, do not use at all times in case of emergency only type of thing, because this isn't normal for the market, so to speak, and certainly it's not where it's not why we're in crypto either.
Why don't we leave it there? Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Really appreciate you. Go to weeklyopen.com, check old episodes, or just hit subscribe and get notifications right here on YouTube. Thanks to our partners over at FTX. Go to weeklyopen.com/FTX. You can trade there today super easily. Direct from one asset to the other on the mobile app, track your portfolio. Do all the things through your FTX location of choice. weeklyopen.com/FTX. Thanks to our partners. Thanks to you for joining us. We'll catch you next time.